it's hot as heck and we're not going to take it anymore. Well, actually, not. Apparently, we are going to take it here a little bit more. It's going to be a hot July as I look at the entire month here as well. And of course, we felt the excessive heat here. Temperatures reaching past 110 degrees. I got to thinking, because I was kind of right in the middle of it, you know, am I operating my vehicle well in this kind of extreme heat? And what about like gardening and plants and things like that? Machinery? Overall, the answer is kind of yes and no. We're going to get some answers today as we'll go over to Missoula and talk with Shane Klaus, a friend, Pink Grizzly Nursery. We'll get about landscaping information. Ed McIntosh, Montana's weatherman, going to join us here as well. And then Stephen Dawn will kick things off here. He is the dean of the College of Technical Sciences at Montana State University Northern. That today, let's address this heat because we can't beat it on Voices of Montana. Yeah, right. It's hot as heck, and we are going to take it some more. But we're going to learn how to take it well. And thank you guys for joining us here. We are two decades strong and then some, right? Two and a half now. The program goes back, and you guys have made that possible, catching us in Great Falls on KQDI, catching us in Kalispell and KOFI in Malta, KMMR. Thank you guys for being alongside. Also, on in Haber, Montana, KPQX, talked with Kyle Leeds just yesterday about this, 92.5 FM HD2, and he says, you should give Dean Dawn a call. And I said, what? Stephen Dawn is the Dean of College and Technical Services from Montana State University Northern and joins us here today to talk about how do we operate our vehicles correctly in such heat. Steve, good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, good morning, Tom, and good morning to all your listeners out there. Great to be here. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, thanks for coming on. I appreciate that. So we're hot as heck, and we're going to take it some more. How do our vehicles take it? Now, I'll tell this little story. Because we were driving home on Sunday, of course, it was super hot from like Belgrade to Billings. So, you know, not very far. And then in this kind of heat, though, I had this bug guard on the front of my truck and it just started melting off. I mean, the glue was not sticking. It started flapping in the wind. And I got to thinking, you know, what else do I need to consider in operating my vehicle in this kind of heat? What do you think?
So, you know, you're right, Tom. The heat is here. The heat is going to be around for quite some time. We expect our vehicles, whether we're on the highway or running downtown, to kind of perform as they've always done. But there's maybe some things we probably should be paying attention to. You know, one of the first things that comes to mind is our cooling system. So our cooling system in our vehicle, whether it be a pickup truck, whether it be a car, whether it be a piece of equipment out in the field, is pretty critical to the operation of the engine. If our cooling system isn't maintained, then you know our gauge will obviously rise on our dash, but it can do a lot of damage. The cooling system will also affect our air conditioning. When it's hot, we get in the vehicle, and the first thing we want is cold air. Mm-hmm. Well, if our cooling system isn't up to snuff, we won't get the cold air. And if our air conditioning system isn't up to snuff, we won't get a good cooling system. So we have a little radiator, it's called a condenser, in front of our regular radiator. And the one thing that we have in Montana is bugs. So we're running down the highway, around the street, that little radiator, the condenser gets filled up with bugs, there will be no airflow. Ah. So that's going to affect both the cooling system and the air conditioning system. So it's a good thing to check that little condenser. If there's bugs in there, you can go down to your local friendly parts store and get what's called a radiator comb, and that will actually kind of pluck those bugs out of there. We don't want to use a high-pressure washer because that's what will happen is the aluminum fins will bend over. Now we've got to take a lot of time, or someone has to straighten those fins out. So it's paramount that we kind of get all those radiators nice and clean. If they're all clean and we're still getting higher temperatures in our engine, then we need to take it to a friendly place, a dealership or a private person to get that system checked out. It could be as simple as a radiator cap, could be a radiator hose, it could be a belt, could be lots of different things. So preventive maintenance is good. With our air conditioning, you know, one thing I always suggest to, you know, I have my own business for several years, and one thing I always suggest to my customers is, well, actually two things. Number one, when you first take off, roll down your windows. Okay, might be a little uncomfortable, but you'll get a little breeze blowing through the car or your pickup, which helps with your air conditioning system. But once we get a little cool air running through, roll the windows up, turn your AC on, and make sure that we have it on recirculation. Mm. If we are continually drawing in air from outside, that air conditioning system has to continually cool the air. So if we have it on recirc, and there's a little button on your dash, it kind of shows an outline of a car with maybe a semicircle arrow in it. Push that, and that means that the air inside the cab, which is already cool, is just going to be recirculated. So it takes a lot less strain off the air conditioning system and also off the engine and the cooling system. Another thing I always tell my customers, this is maybe more for on the highway, is watch your tire inflation. The tire inflation is critical. If your tire inflation, especially if it's low, number one, it's proven that it has a big effect on your fuel mileage. But number two, we're running radial tires. So if we have low inflation, the sidewalls of those tires do extra flexing, which creates heat. And at the end of the day, we could possibly have a blowout. And I think we've all driven down the highway, and we've seen shreds of, especially semi-tires, and they're just laying in the middle of the road. We call those highway alligators because they will step up and they will bite you.
Yeah.
All right? And that's a direct result of underinflation. Could happen on a car, could happen on a pickup truck as well. So what's your cooling system? Your AC system, treat them nicely, and they will treat you nicely. And watch your tire inflation, too.
Those are a couple of really good key things, like the simple things that you can do. Of course, maintenance for a vehicle is something that's ongoing here. Stephen Dawn is with us again, Dean of the College of Technical Sciences at Montana State University Northern there. Visited when we did the tow rope tour maybe 4 or 5 years ago, Stephen, when you guys hosted us there in the Diesel Technology Center. Really good facility, and we'll talk about that here in just a little bit too. Is our engine working harder when it's 100 degrees outside? And I, you know, I note my temperature gauge, 2018 Ford, it shows 112, it shows 113 degrees. And that does just, that number itself is alarming. But our engines are made to work hot, right?
Yeah, that is correct. They're typically running a little hotter than what they used to back in the day, because we put a lot more load on them. We've got our power steering. We got all of our creature comforts, right? Power steering, and we got our air conditioning, and we got this, and we got that. We have a lot more electronic accessories, so our alternator might have to run a little bit more. So, yeah, there is still on your gauge, on your dash, and I'm glad you brought that up, that you are watching your gauge,
because, yep,
you know, a lot of people don't. That's when we kind of run into problems. So a good thing, summer, winter, doesn't matter, is watch your gauges on your dash. And if you're still running, if you're running in the red on your temperature, then obviously we have a problem. But if you're running in the good zone, then everything's going to be fine as long as you take care of that cooling system. But, yeah, summertime, the engine is working harder because typically we do have our air conditioner running. So puts an extra strain on it, but if we take care of our preventive maintenance, as you just said, it is kind of critical. A lot of people do their own preventive maintenance, but you know what? There's in Haver, I could name off probably about a half a dozen great places I would not have a problem taking my vehicle to get some preventive maintenance done.
Yeah.
And it's going to be the same in Chinook and then Billings or, you know, wherever.
The temperature is one thing that affects batteries in a way that we probably don't understand. And also, there are more electric vehicles on the road, and we hear about how hot those batteries can run as well. Is excessive heat addressed by electric vehicle manufacturers?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, I don't really have a good answer for that. It seems like more and more on the news, probably because we got more people out there with cell phones, that there is a electric vehicle here catching fire, an electric vehicle somewhere else catching fire. Whether that's happened in the past, I don't know, but I think the same with electric vehicles, especially in the summertime, and 100 plus degrees, it's going to put an extra strain on all the systems in an electric vehicle also. So yeah, there probably is a little more danger there.
And then batteries will fail. I understand they fail more often in the summer than they do in the winter. Is that right?
I wouldn't necessarily say that. I think actually probably, you know, there is more heat in the summer, yes. But in the winter time, we're asking them also to do a lot more, especially with cold winter starting.
Yeah.
So that's also going to put extra load on the battery. So I think if you maintain your batteries, you know, we look at our batteries and make sure the cables are clean. We make sure there's no corrosion on the terminals. Make sure your terminals are tight. I think, you know, your life of your battery, winter or summer, again, back to preventive maintenance, right? They're going to last a long time.
Stephen Don with us again, Dean of the College of Technical Sciences at Montana State University Northern there, has spent more than 2 decades helping educate the next generation of technicians to deal with things exactly like this. I got just a couple more minutes here, and I appreciate chatting with you and your time. So what are like some of the biggest mistakes we make? How do we prepare for a long road trip? How do we keep, I guess the focus on good maintenance, but are there some mistakes that we typically make that we're not even recognizing?
Yeah, there are actually, Tom. I think one of the biggest things is our tire inflation.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure, you know, you can go down to Carquest, you can go to O'Reilly's, you know, wherever you want to go, and you can get a pretty reasonable inflation gauge to check those tire pressures, toss it in the glove box. All right, it should be checked every morning if you're on the road. Mm. Montana is a really big state. And you get a blowout or have a tire issue between town A and town B, there might be very little traffic to help you out. The other thing is making sure that we use quality gasoline, making sure that our washer fluid is full, pack an extra gallon of washer fluid with you. You know, again, we do have these things called bugs in Montana.
Boy.
They kind of splatter over our windshield. The other thing is maybe some glass cleaner because they also splatter over our headlamps, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm one that, you know, I have automatic headlamps and we have 3 vehicles, my wife and I. I always turn my headlamps on. And if there's a bunch of bugs over them, well, you know, it kind of defeats the purpose of having a headlamp. And then if you're running at night, you kind of want to use those headlamps. So paper towels and some sort of a liquid glass cleaner, clean off those headlamps, making sure that your tail lamps and your turn signals all working before you leave your house, you know, before you make a turn in front of a highway patrol and there's no turn signal. That's not a good time to figure that out. So just a lot of the maintenance things, checking your oil level, checking, you're making sure that your vehicle is on level ground before you check your engine oil. Check your transmission fluid level, checking your coolant level. There's typically a recovery tank. It's clear. You can see in there. Typically, your brake fluid is clear, the reservoir. Make sure that it is nice and clean. Dirty brake fluid means you've got a problem. It means you need to take it to a place who can flush out that brake system. So back to all of our preventive maintenance.
Got to ask one more question about towing units, because we see a lot of towing units across the state of Montana. Is it, are there some things that we need to look out for excessive heat when towing?
Good question. Yes, there are a lot of towing units in the state of Montana and beyond. Putting on a trailer or a camper, fifth wheel, bumper pull, whatever, that's going to put an extra load on that engine. Absolutely it is. You know, we need to make sure that our vehicle is rated to pull that load. I've seen a lot of, you know, bigger vehicles with bigger campers that looks perfect. The other thing is I've seen some smaller pickups with some larger campers. Like, ooh, boy, that may not be good. You know, the big thing with the towing unit, a lot of people have got the engine power to pull it. They may not necessarily have the brakes to stop it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what bothers me a lot, is you see a lot of big campers. And there's a huge campers out there.
Yeah.
But do we have the braking power? Have we upgraded our brakes to suffice for having a good stopping ability? Yeah. Maybe not. So, but again, back to preventive maintenance with your cooling system, because that load on the back end of your pickup truck will put another load on that engine for sure.
Gotcha. I appreciate all of that. I got like 30 seconds here, but tell me, and a little more, but tell me about what's going on there at Montana State University Northern, and especially the College of Technical Sciences.
Sure. We're in the process of, you know, registering new students. We have still classes still available. We've got lots and lots of offer to offer here at our university system-wide. We're regional 4-year. We're the cheapest 4-year in the state of Montana. Very, very good educators here. So if students want to sign up, call our admissions office, and we'll help you out.
Yeah, it's a great education experience up there. Hey, Stephen, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's good information for us here today.
Perfect. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Tom. I'm looking forward to doing this again.
Yeah, thank you. We will. Education's a big thing, and of course, you know, we put on a lot of miles here, too. And thanks for training all those technicians, too, because they've got a job with me, I'll tell you that. Thanks again, Stephen Don.
All right. Yeah. Take care. Thank you, sir. Guys.
Oh, yeah, Cody. Yeah. That's what we need. A little Elvis Presley. Put a little music behind it, and then it doesn't seem so bad, right? Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for joining us here. We're back into Voices of Montana, KATQ in Plentywood, 1070 AM, KDBM in Dillon, 1490 AM. Is it hot there? Yes, it's hot everywhere. Our weatherman, Montana's weatherman, is actually Q2's weatherman for so many years, does weather for us here at the Northern Broadcasting System as well. But I'm just calling him Montana's weatherman because, and you know exactly who I'm talking about. It's Ed McIntosh joins us here today to kind of go back over some of these numbers. But Ed, there's sort of a new warning out with all this heat. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing very well. Thank you for inviting me to be on the show. It's always a lot of fun, Tom.
Yeah, and it's a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Thank you. We're going to shift gears a little bit because so much of the heat that we've been experiencing isn't totally leaving, but as it shifts off towards the Midwest, it's opening the door to a lot more moisture coming up. And all of a sudden, we're going to be talking about thunderstorms with the potential for heavy rain. We'll still have a lot of those strong winds around the storms, but heavy rain, we actually have a flood watch into effect in a good portion of central Montana. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, and maybe talk about those because I've lived my life in Montana and I've enjoyed the thunderstorms. Some you can just see coming in across, you know, great distances. Others, like especially the mountain areas, they'll sneak up on you here in Montana. Talk about that experience for Montanans, the difference in thunderstorms, and what should we expect? Are we expecting these big cells to kind of come up and crop up in about an hour or two?
Well, we're going to start off the mountains, especially in southwest Montana, thinking like Silver Bow and Granite Counties, Deer Lodge County. They could be a lot more active for this afternoon. So we're talking around the Butte, Anaconda area, somewhat maybe Bozeman, and then extending up into even the Flathead, we could see some of it for this afternoon. They're going to be high-based storms today. So that means they're going to be well off the surface. So by the time they reach the ground, a lot of that moisture is going to be evaporating because we're still going to have those very warm temperatures. So wind is by far the biggest threat. But there will be pockets where we could see some very heavy rain, and especially over areas that maybe in recent years, Tom, where we've had wildfires and we've got burn scar areas, those could be more prone to flooding, localized flooding, maybe in urban areas, things like that. So a heavy enough rain on top of everything else that we could see some problems from that. I mean, I think part of our concern now is shifting to all of a sudden we've got this hot and dry weather. So precipitation would be welcome, but to try to keep that fire risk down. I think at the same time, what we'll see here in the short term are these pockets of really heavy rain rather than just widespread showers and wet thunderstorms like we might want to. I wouldn't be surprised at all if we get some reports of even microbursts out of this for the next couple of days.
Yeah, and those are fascinating but dangerous because winds can can come down at what they travel over 100 miles an hour, don't they, on some of those bursts?
Yeah. A lot of what happens with a microburst, when it starts to form, you've got basically this air that gets cooled well up into the clouds. So it's like a bowling ball falling from the clouds, a bowling ball of wind. Once it hits the ground, it just spreads out, and it can do a lot of damage that way. So it is a concern here as we start getting into the next couple of days. We're going to really start to shift our attention. The other part of this too, Tom, is that we're going to see these humidity levels go up. And we're typically thinking, you know, in recent days, we've seen the relative humidity numbers into the teens and even single digits. And now those will start to move up. So even though the thermometer may not be reading, you know, 110 or 115 as we've seen in the state here, but instead we'll see the temperatures nudge a little down, but the humidity go up. So suddenly it's going to feel a lot more muggy and a lot more sticky across the region.
Yeah, and we're blessed up here because that is not the kind of weather that we normally have. And if you've got family around the states, so to speak, they talk about how, and you've probably experienced it if you walked out of an airplane in Hawaii or something like that. That humidity is something that we Northerners don't really have to tangle with, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I work with a gentleman, a meteorologist who moved up here from Georgia and said, hey, I want to come to Montana to get away from that oppressive humidity. And now here we go. Just followed him right on up here, at least for the short term, to where it's just going to be much harder to be able to cool down. And with these warm overnight temperatures we've seen, especially in eastern Montana, western Montana, it's been a little more kind, cooling back down into the 50s. But 60s and 70s that we've seen in the eastern plains, that could feel a lot more oppressive, trying to cool down at night when the temperatures don't drop and the humidity stays high.
You've been doing weather in Montana for a number of years. Have you seen heat like this, you know, over that time?
No. You know, we're setting a lot of these all-time record high temperatures, especially in the eastern plains here in the last, you know, few days. So, there's been stretches where we've had some really hot temperatures over an extended period. And when we got into this, I started looking at some of these other periods and going, oh, well, we've had some pretty good stretches of triple-digit readings. I mean, for the daily highs that we saw on Sunday, obviously most of us haven't experienced that before. I have to say, here in Billings on Sunday, we hit 111 degrees. Our former record was 108 degrees, and I remember that day very well because I was sitting out at a family wedding, an outdoor wedding, in that 108-degree heat. And I thought, I will never experience anything quite like this again. So Sunday, I just had to go out in the 111-degree heat to say, well, guess I topped that one.
Well, and you didn't visit Forsyth, Montana. Did they have, was it official 118 degrees?
There was this weather station in Forsyth that did record 118 degrees. It's part of a citizens weather observation program. And so that particular station has a history of running a little bit on the warm side. So it wasn't submitted as being a new official state high. So our old record of 117 still stands. But we did record 115 in Miles City, and I think Lindy's was officially recorded at 115 as well. So those were the hottest that we had over the weekend, which is pretty hot and hot enough for me.
And I got like 30 seconds here, but July, the entire month of July looks pretty hot, doesn't it?
Yeah, we're going to continue to see the heat. We were, you know, we got by in June.
Yeah.
Everybody, I think, was a little relieved that we didn't have a lot of heat and increased that fire risk. Now we'll start to see things dry out with the heat. So the moisture stream coming in could be welcome in terms of trying to keep that fire risk down. We'll just see how things come together. But be aware that these thunderstorms could be rather powerful here in the coming days, especially central and western Montana. Thunderstorms in the afternoons could bring anything from heavy rain, gusty winds, even small hail is going to be involved with some of these storms.
Looking at some of these facts about temperature, heat. Let's see, nearly 40 million Americans are exposed to dangerous heat alerts several times a year. Your body is made up of 60% water. So if you're thirsty, there's a reason for that, right? You need a lot of water. Keep that in mind. How hot can your car dashboard be? Don't put your phone up there. not even really for any amount of time, because it get to be, it can, it's 170 degrees on your dashboard. Keep that in mind when you're like reaching up on your dash there too, because you can cook an egg. And the steering wheel's really hot, as Cody is motioning here as well. So all those things to keep in mind. Of course, safety. I think you've heard a lot of the safety precautions regarding that. And if you, you know, the dizziness is one thing, confusion. If you're not sweating, that is an indication of heat illness. Okay. Fainting. So those things, please do keep in mind, and don't take any chances. I mean, this is serious. Your plants and your garden, it wants to live as well. How do we keep it moving, you know, growing and going forward in this kind of heat? Shane Klaus now joins us. He's a friend of the program, a musician as well. Shane Klaus and Stomping Ground, you heard and probably have seen and danced to them in the Missoula area. Pink Grizzly Nursery. How can you not know about Pink Grizzly Nursery, even if you've been in Missoula any little amount of time? Shane Klaus joins us now. Shane, how are you, sir?
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thanks for that introduction. Well, I'm doing well, and yourself?
Pretty good. Pretty good. I, you know, sweated a little bit here over the weekend, but we're kind of used to that. I worry.
Well, it's good for putting up hay, but you're right. It is tough on plants and gardens and us when we have to work outside.
Yeah. And the first question that comes to mind is like watering, you know, and I think we know we need to water in the morning, but how long do we water extra long in this kind of heat? You know, is there a cutoff time, like at 10 o'clock? Is it too hot to water your yard?
Well, it's good to water. It's good to water at night. It can be more efficient. Yeah. Essentially, you want to try to do a 1 inch of water per week with outside, like a garden space in the ground. Obviously, with pots, you have to water them sometimes multiple times a day, or put a dish under them to capture water so it soaks back up into the pot as they dry out. Watering at night can cause some problems this time of year because there's mold in our air, and that can settle on the leaves overnight when you water at night, and it creates what's called powdery mildew. It's like a dust on the leaves of many types of plants in our gardens, especially you'd see it on like zucchini or pumpkins.
Wow.
Even your tomatoes and maple trees can get it. So sometimes this time of year, it's better to water in the morning and water heavily in the morning for at least an hour, and then it has all day to dry out, and then you can water again the next morning.
So, and if you're sometimes water can be an expense for people as well. So
especially if you live in a municipality that charges by the water, or you're metered, you can only water every other day. Those are definitely important things to consider.
Is there a schedule if you can't water every day? And is that what you would recommend? Water every day for?
I do recommend that. Yeah. It's nice to get a little apparatus if you don't have an automatic irrigation system. You know, you can set those times so you can go up to an hour per zone if you have an irrigation system, or you can go to a hardware store and buy a battery powered unit that you can turn a couple hoses on, and they'll come on for a set amount of time and then they turn off automatically. So you're not dragging hoses all over the place and having to remember to turn them on and shut them off.
Yeah.
But an hour of watering when it's going to be 90 degrees per day per zone, and a zone could be on your irrigation system or just where you want to move a sprinkler to. That's about what you need to keep the plants stable. They may not prosper, but they're not going to be downgraded by that hot weather as much if you're able to water now.
Yeah. If we're having a problem, you know, what do we see? What happens to plants during this kind of prolonged heat?
Well, we'll dive into soil a little bit. A lot of people don't think about what's going on in the soil because we walk on it. We don't think about it as much. So when it gets really hot, especially above 90 degrees, 95, over 100, like they're having in the far eastern Montana, that locks up all the available iron in the soil. Mm. And so the nutrient uptake of plants starts to shut down in our gardens, in our yards. And you'll notice things might start turned a lime green, and that's a phenomenon called iron chlorosis.
Oh.
One of the things you can do, it's very inexpensive to buy ironite at a hardware store or a chelated iron that's water soluble. You would notice that if you put a bunch of old horseshoes in a bucket and filled it with water, in a couple of days that water's going to turn iron brown. If you add iron to your water mixture or even Epsom salts, what that does is it unlocks the nutrient spectrum in the soil, and it helps your plants prosper through this heat, because the heat locks the iron up. It's not available to the plants. So by giving extra iron, it helps them get through this hot period. And it's very inexpensive.
That's Shane Klaus is with us, Pink Grizzly Nursery in Missoula, Montana. Of course, a musician as well. I'm going to ask a question about some new songs, maybe. And I don't know if you've ever written about this whole process, but you seem pretty educated about it. How long has Pink Grizzly been around, Shane?
Well, Pink Grizzly has been around since 1955. My parents moved to Missoula Valley from the Midwest. They were both teachers, and they needed a way to keep their 8 children out of jail. So they started this in 4-H, and I call it a micro farm or a 4-H farm, and they got us into that. And then as Missoula grew, we realized that our little farm had some commerce opportunities. So we started a greenhouse because my dad was a farmer from the Midwest and grew up on a big dairy farm. And so when he came out here, he needed to keep his kids out of jail. So he put us to work, and we built a greenhouse and right around 1985, and started growing geraniums and tomato plants. And now we carry hundreds of thousands of things. And it's been, I believe this is our 56th year in business, so longer than my lifetime.
Wow. And I've spent some time in Missoula, 30 plus years. So I've seen that growth. We used to park and before the, what was it? The resurfacing of the street there too. It was always kind of a little Missoula tradition, I think, to go to Pink Grizzly.
Such an eclectic name. And I always tell people it's like being a boy named Sue, growing up with a business named Pink Grizzly. You either got tougher or you moved away or did something else. But it's become kind of a kitschy, eclectic thing that coincides with family and quality and agriculture.
Yeah.
And it's been pretty fun to be involved with.
And did most of you remain out of jail for the most part?
For the most part, there was, they suspected I would be the most likely to get in trouble.
Yeah, right.
Having a farm and a greenhouse and everything I sell is alive, that's kept me on the straight and narrow, because they've got to be taken care of every day.
Yeah.
Just like if you're raising cattle or your farm crops, somebody's got to take care of those every day and keep their eyes on them.
Okay, trees. How do we keep trees going this kind of heat?
Yeah. If they're young trees, like if you've just bought one at a nursery this year and you just planted it, you want to make sure they get about 50 gallons of water a week, just to keep them stable during this time. Wow. You can also, I can't stress enough, I call water-soluble iron the Montana miracle, because so many of our soils are clay. There's nutrients in the soil, but when it gets hot like this, think of it like if you had a safe in your kitchen with $5 million in it, but you didn't know the combination. Well, the iron opens that safe and releases all the nutrients that already exist in the soil and makes it available for those plants. So during these hot periods, it you can get a little, submersible water-soluble stakes that last a while. You can stick one of those in within the drip line of your tree, and that really helps get it through the hot period. In your gardens, there's many products. We sell one that's called Iron Tone by a company called Espoma, because there's a lot of folks that are concerned about organic gardening. It doesn't have a lot of nitrogen in it. What it does have is available iron for the plants. And I can't stress enough how you'll notice the benefits of it within 24 hours. Your plants will turn darker green, and they seem to prosper in this heat rather than wilt.
That is a great takeaway there, too. Lots of good information. Is mulch, does mulch help?
Oh, mulch helps tremendously because the water can pass through it, but it's difficult for weeds to get up through it. And then the sun will only dry out the top of the mulch, so everything underneath that mulch will stay more wet. So mulching around your trees and your valuable landscape shrubs, and even in your garden in between the rows, you can use wood bark. Plastic can even be considered a mulch. Some people use old hay bales. People've got hay sitting around their farm or ranch, and there's not much you can do with it. You could put that between the rows of your garden, reduces the weeding and reduces the need for frequent watering.
Shane Klaus with us again, Pink Grizzly Nursery, but also musician and a well-known musician, Shane Klaus and Stomping Ground. And I wanted to save a few minutes here, too, and we'll play your song on the other side here, but your group being recognized for one of your newer songs. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so as you said, I started writing songs, and I was in Nashville for quite some time trying to write pop songs and trying to make a living either as an artist or a songwriter. And while that didn't pan out, while I was in Nashville, I came back to Montana and I started writing songs. And as you know, my family has a few ranches in the state of Montana. One of them is the L.O. Bar Cattle Company that my nephew runs. He's the fourth generation, his children are the fifth. And I spent a lot of my life out there hunting and experiencing it. And I was inspired by the topography there. And I wrote a song that was based on that topography, because one night it was about 15 below and it was on the highest point. I could see the full moon rising, and I could see the sun going down at the same time. So I used that to kind of inspiration for a song about a man and a woman that are separated by basically oceans of distance across the United States. And it's a cowboy song. And the Will Rogers Association celebrates Western arts, literary poems, cowboy poetry, and cowboy songs. And this song won an award, which I get to go receive at their Will Rogers Medallion Awards the very end of October in Tulsa, Oklahoma this year. So I'm pretty excited.
Wow, congratulations on that. That's news. How does it make you feel? I mean, that's recognition for an art that is predominantly, Shane Klaus, right? I mean,
right?
Yeah, yeah. It's got to.
Well, it's very rewarding. You know, a lot of people in life, you go to work, especially since I chose to work in agriculture. There's a lot of challenge in that, but it's our biggest industry in the state, and I just fell in love with it. And I consider myself very fortunate that I get to do that every day. And in my off time, I was able to continue to write songs and travel around a bit. I still perform for people, and just the natural world really inspires me, because I'm out in it 16, 18 hours a day, and I get to write about that, try to share that with people. And to me, it's such a gift at 53 years old that people still pay money to come see me sing all over the country, in some cases all over the world. I get to travel, and then I get to come back, and I get to live in the Bitter Valley of Montana, and it's beautiful, and I live on a farm, and I've got a few cows. So to me, it just feels like a charmed life. I mean, it's work for sure, but it's work that I really enjoy.
Yeah, thank you for that, too. And Pink Grizzly, it's one of those places where you can go, you'll talk about plants, you'll talk with customers about their landscaping. I mean, it's different, right? It's not like I'm going to the mechanic and talking about brakes, which I don't know anything about.
Yeah, right? I have a lot of people come in. They come in. I had a conversation this morning with a customer, and they didn't purchase anything, but they knew that I've spent a lifetime. I like to tell people, look, I've made all the mistakes, and I want to share my knowledge with you so that you don't have to make those same mistakes, and we can prevent that. And we do that every day. We try to just help people find more joy in their life through gardening, help them grow their own food, and bring a little beautification to their communities and their home.
Shane, very good to chat with you, and I always appreciate I always appreciate it. You're a friend, and thanks, and good luck, and congratulations on that.
Thanks for having me on today. Stay cool, drink lots of water, and if you're wanting to keep your plants doing well through this heat, just go to your hardware store and find a product that has available iron in it, and I bet you it'll make your garden better.
That's a great takeaway. Shane, talk to you down the road, sir.
All right, take care. Have a good day.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.